Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 133 all the stanzas. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. The righteous judgments of her king, let Zion and her daughters sing. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 133. Thank you.
portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon hour you can find recorded in the book of Psalms and thereof Psalm 2. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of this earth, we have just heard it out of thy holy word. Serve the Lord with fear. O that thou may give to us that holy reverence which is due unto thee. And when we attempt to approach unto thee, the true God, the Most High, the Holy One, oh, that that tender fear of thy most holy name may live within the heart of young and old together, that we may be afraid to sin against thee, and that we may be given that true love for thee, that desire for thee, as thou hast worked it from the beginning. For thou dost say, unto those that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And so that church has looked forward for so many years to that day of thy coming in the flesh, and how they were gladdened by thy deeds. Oh, indeed, how great the goodness kept in store for those that fear thee and adore in meek humility. Oh, give us also something of that tenderness before thee and that need in our hearts that will be fulfilled by thee, by those for those that wait upon thee. For thou wilt not always forget the needy, but thou wilt hear them when they cry. Oh, that they may be found also amongst young and old. Yea, O Lord, leave not one of us behind. We travel all together to an eternity that will never end. And what shall it be for us to stand before thy judgment seat, even as thy people did appear before thee at Sinai? Oh, there they stood when thou didst come in thy majesty and in thy greatness. There thou didst speak thy holy law so that they heard it with their ears. There they saw the lightnings and the thunderings. There they were witnesses of the greatness of thy glory. Oh, then they did flee away from thee. Oh, then they did not wish to hear thy voice anymore, for the fear that they would be consumed. Oh, how they did need a mediator in that day. Oh, how precious was Moses unto them in that day. So that they have cried out to thee, speak not unto us, lest we die, but speak thou to thy servant Moses, and we will hear. O Lord, that thou may give also impressions to young and old in the day in which we are living, for we also must soon stand before thy great judgment seat, and there we will view thy glory. Oh, there also thy majesty will be evident, so that the wicked will cry out to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Oh, then the fear that shall live in our hearts. Oh, then how precious a mediator will be in that day. Oh, then it shall be too late. If we still have not him in our heart, oh, that thou may grant us this day understanding hearts. Oh, that thou wilt give thy word a place in our hearts for the first time or by renewal. Oh, that thou wouldst waken us, O Lord, out of our death sleep by nature, wherein that we are dead in sins and in trespasses, wherein we feel not that awful and wretched state that we are in, and we see not how high we were created, and we feel not how low that we have fallen. Oh, that thou thyself may grant us new hearts. Oh, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Give thy word a place to prick the heart and to bring us in true humility before thee. Oh, give that need to be bound upon the hearts of all of us together, for the first, but also by renewal, because thou knowest also how that first love can wax so cold, how this earth and this vanity here below is able to draw even the hearts of thine own people, so that thou art grieved with them. Oh, thou art the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, thou wilt begin, but thou hast to also finish. Oh, that thou wouldst finish perfectly what thou for thy church has undertaken. Oh, take it up for them, because they do not know how to maintain it when they cannot deny that thou hast begun it, but then from their own side, then it is lost, 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 unless thou wilt come again, O Lord, that thou may look upon them in the need of their hearts, in the what they may see concerning their own life and the condition of that life. Oh, that thou may give unto them a revival in the midst of the years that in wrath thou didst remember mercy. Oh, that thou may open unto those who have never seen anything of that way of free and sovereign grace, and who do despair of all strength and ways from their own side, when it becomes less and less and nothing, and when it becomes so hopeless, O Lord, that thou may show unto them that thou art the way and the truth and the life. Oh, that they may be given to see an opening, and that it may become possible also for their own soul. Oh, that they may be given to begin to see that there is a way of salvation that is wrought out by the Father, and that is bought by the Son, and that is applied by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that thou may give it in the hearts of each and every one. Care for us, O Lord, upon our short journey here below. Look upon the children and the youth. Oh, give a holy jealousy while they are still young, and that they may seek for thee while they are in a day of youth, health, strength, and that thou may give to them a desire to depart from all the ways of sin, or that they may vow in the time of their youth that they will walk according to thy holy law and commandments, or that they might fear no man in this world, and but that they may have in their young hearts that inner conviction of who that thou art, that they may walk uprightly before thee, for thou wilt then be their reward. That thou may remember all the afflicted and the sick ones in the needs and the cares of body, mind, and soul. Oh, visit also when death draws nigh, for thou knowest the cases. O Lord, wilt thou help that mother in all of her need, and all that are about her, do look upon those that have become old and have no mind to be able to speak unto others anymore, to understand thy holy word. O thou art able to speak unto their soul also, both young and old together, for thou hast made a John the Baptist to leap in the womb. O Lord, thou art able also to give it even when man can not reach them, that thou may remember also those that rule and reign over us. For we are those who have slidden back in this country. Oh, that thou may grant unto us a true sorrow for our sin that seems so hopeless from our side, when we see how Satan seems to have the preeminence, and things they do go from bad to worse. But oh, thou art able to stop us. Oh, deal not with us as our sins deserve, as a nation and as a people, but give us understanding hearts and draw us again that we might run after thee. Look upon those that bring thy word. Remember also the students of our theological school and the instructors in this week, when they will meet for the purpose of examinations. Oh, that thou may help them to bring forth the things that they have learned, and that thou may that they may be given to feel that thou art with them, and that thou dost, that thou art on their right and on their left hand. Do look upon us also in this afternoon hour. Lord, we are gathered round about thy word of truth, and then there is nothing from our side that we can plead upon, that thou wouldst help us to speak or to listen. Then we are so deserving that thou wouldst stay in thy place and leave it to be but the word of a man. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou wouldst come unto us, that thou wouldst look upon us in and through thy dear and only begotten Son. In him thou art so well pleased, and thou hast promised him a seed that shall serve him. Oh, could it be also a seed that is born in this afternoon hour, and when thy word does come with power by thy Spirit, and when it does strike the heart, and when there is new life that is born, oh, do it, Lord, for thy name's sake, and leave us not over to ourselves, nor deal with us according to our just deserts. For it is unto those that are unworthy that thou dost show both mercy and grace. Do it then for thy name's sake, and magnify thyself. Oh, glorify thyself in this hour for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we will sing from Psalter number 50, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Come, ye that fear Jehovah, ye saints, your voices raise. Come, stand in awe of him before him, and sing his glorious praise. And what follows at Psalter 50, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And the last collection today is for the Student Support Fund. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in Psalm 2 as it was read unto you, and thereof the sixth verse. Psalm 2, verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. So far the words of our text. The king of Zion anointed. First, despite whom? We find that in the word yet. Second, by whom? We find that in these words, yet have I set my king. And last, over whom? Upon my holy hill of Zion. The king of Zion anointed. First, despite whom? Second, by whom? And third, over whom? Yet, or some say, and, or as, at the same time as, others say, for. It all means the same thing. It is referring to that which goes before this verse in this psalm. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Thus it speaks about the heathen. Who were the heathen? Well, you say the heathen were those that were not the Jews. The heathen were those that were not the Hebrews. Thus, the heathen were those that did not serve the true and the living God. The heathen were those who bowed down to idols. Later on, we read, it says, kiss the sun. That is an admonition to the heathen. Because the heathen, they kissed the calves. They kissed their idols. And so then it is said, instead of kissing your calves and your idols, it says to kiss the sun. There is no question that the world that is full of rage against Christ and against his kingdom, all we have to do is read the history books of the church. And then we see how that the world has persecuted the heathens, how that they have raged against Christ and they have raged against his church from the beginning of the time. And then there were an Advent people. They were a people that were looking forward to the coming of Christ into this world. But that was not the whole world. No, that was but a remnant in this world. And thus there was also the greatest part of them that did rage against Christ and his church. But we are not going to speak about them long. Why not, children? Well, because they are not here. And they cannot hear us. And thus they cannot be convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But that is different with us, because we are here, and we are under the word of God. I say, but it speaks about the heathen, and I am not a heathen. And it speaks about those that who raged against the church of God, and I am not a persecutor of Christ and his church. Oh, that is what Saul thought of himself too. He said, I'm a religious man. He said, I am a Pharisee, and I am the son of a Pharisee, and I live in good conscience before God even until this day. That is what he thought as a religious man. But the Lord did not think so of him. That the Lord did not call him what he wished to call himself. Do we see it concerning ourselves the same as the Lord sees it concerning us? What did the Lord call him? He says, Saul, you are a persecutor. Oh, Saul, you are against me. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And if the Lord had never stopped him in the way that he was going, in the religious way that he was going, then he would today have been in that great fiery pit with the heathen. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Oh, did the Lord ever show to us that heathenish heart that lives within us? Because the Apostle Paul, he said, I am the chief of sinners. That is what the Lord showed to him, that he saw indeed that he was greater in his sin than the entire world. Oh, it is possible that we sit here in the house of God and that we are an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Because we are either in the kingdom of God or we are in the kingdom of Satan, because there is no other kingdom. If we do not love Christ, actually, we hate him. Actually, there is no neutrality in this. You say, I do not dare to say that I love him, but I would not say that I hate him. Oh, but what does our life show? Because what is now a characteristic of the heathen? Do you know what the Bible says a heathen is? A heathen is a man that loves vanity. What is vanity? Vanity is that which is empty. Vanity is that which has no substance. Vanity is that which is perishing. And the Bible that speaks about the heathen, that they are those who love vanity. They love that which is without substance. They love everything that is belonging to this world. They love everything that is soon going to burn and that is going to perish and that has no value for the soul of a man for eternity. Treasure that is not in heaven, where Christ, he sitteth on the right hand of God. Oh, indeed, our treasure that is not spiritual things. Indeed, those spiritual things, they are a burden unto us. Oh, we say, what a weariness is it? And we are waiting for that Sabbath day that it may pass, that we may go on once again with our vanity. That is the way the Bible that is speaking about the heathen. Oh, then the Sabbath that is not our delight, and spiritual things indeed, they are to us cords, they are to us bands. And then we say the same as we read here. Then we say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. They are from the Lord. They are cords. They are bands. They are nothing but a resistance. All of that which we have no desire for. Oh, you say the heathen, they are not the members of the visible church. Because the heathen, they were the non-Jews. That is true. But what does the Lord say in his word? He says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Thus, if we are not Israel, then we are still of Israel. When we are not of that true church, And when we are of the visible church, oh, then actually, then we are really nothing but a heathen. How many enemies they were in that church, the enemies of Christ in the day in which he lived. Actually, that was the people that did crucify him. They are the ones who conspired against him. That was not those on the outside, but that was those on the inside. What did the Lord Jesus say to Pilate? He says, "He that has delivered thee unto me hath a greater sin." The greater sin. Christ said to Pilate that people within the sanctuary, the people within the church, they are worse, they have the greater sin than all of the heathens. Oh, the enemies of Christ. Are we such an enemy? Because an enemy of Christ is one that is so unlike him. An enemy of Christ, he is one that is proud. What did they say? They said, "We are Abraham's children. We have the truth. We are those who walk according to that truth. But we are not sinners." No, that is the publicans. Thus, they did not want to receive that name for themselves. Thus, their finger that was always pointing away from themselves. Oh, does our finger always point away? Or did the Lord ever bring our finger to point back unto ourselves? The enemies of God. The enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are we such an enemy? Because such are haters actually of the law of God. We do not wish then to subject ourselves unto that law of God. We know that Adam did not want to. He wanted to be a law to himself. He wanted to say what was right. He wanted to say himself what was wrong. Thus, when there is that enmity that is living in our heart, and that is in a way that is respectable amongst our own community, oh, then what happens in our life? Oh, then we change that law of God. We change that law of God into something which is a duty religion that will give to us the praise of men, but that we have no desire and we have no need for the praise of God. We read of that people that they condemned the man who is carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And then they were superstitious as the heathen with that law of God. And yet they neglected the weightier matters of the law, the matters of judgment, the matter of mercy, the matter of faith. And in their heart actually was enmity against the Son of God. Oh, they were as the heathen as the haters of Christ and his kingdom. They maintained their own goodness. They would not let that goodness go. They were practical deniers of the fall of man. Oh, we do not say they did not have the doctrine, but in a practical way, then there was denial. Because when the Lord Jesus came and pointed out to them what their sin was, oh, then they became angry. And then they were rebellious because they did not want the Lord Jesus to bring them low. And they could not bear the admonishments of the Lord that were against them. And they turned it against the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We read that they raged against the Lord Jesus. They derided the Lord Jesus. And when he came against them with his law, they flattered themselves in their own eyes until their iniquity was found to be hateful. They said, "Come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou." Oh, how is it? How is it in our own heart? How is it in our own life? Can we recognize those same marks of the heathen, of the enemies actually of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? They are marks against us. When we are maintainers of ourself, despite our sin, despite our corruption, and neither are we able to receive the admonitions of the Lord by nature. No, it is just the opposite. We hate him for it. Such have no use for Christ. We have no need for him. It is even greater. We rage against him. Why do the heathen rage? Oh, we are proffered his grace, but even the proffer of his grace, that is an offense to us. It is an offense. Why? Because it makes an assumption. It makes an assumption of our guilt. But we do not want to receive ourselves as guilty. It makes an assumption that we are unworthy. But we do not want to confess that we are unworthy. Oh, the proffer of his mercy, that makes an assumption. It assumes that we are helpless. It assumes that we have no spiritual life. It assumes that we have no spiritual ability, that we cannot deliver ourselves, that we are weak, that we are guilty, that we are filthy, that we are polluted. Those are the assumptions. And thus we push it away because we will not let go of our righteousness. Neither will we bow, because he says to bow before me. But we do not want to bow. And yet he says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Yet. He says, despite the rage of all of my enemies, despite the refusal of man to bow before me. Who does that? Now, to set his king upon his holy hill of Zion. We see that in our second thought, by whom that this king he is anointed. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who is that? That is God himself. That is not the Son of God, but that is now the Father. That is what we read here. That the Son, he declares in the next verse, he says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." Thus the Father, he declares his Son to be the King. And we read that often in the Old Testament that he did that actually through a type. That is, that he declared him to be the son of David, so that David was a type of that king who was prophesied to come in the future. But that is not so here. That is a remarkable thing. Here we read of a prophecy of the coming of the king, but it is not even through a type, but it is direct. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Actually, it is more than a mere pronouncement that he is coming, that he will send him, but it says that I have set him upon my holy hill. And that word set is actually the word to anoint. That is, that means to pour out. That means to pour out liberally, to pour out profusely. The Lord says, I have set him, I have anointed him to be king. Oh, that is so full of blessed meaning. Because our young people know what this word anoint means and what that word anoint contains. And when you will ask them, they will tell you that it contains two things. That is, in the first place, the appointment. And that is, in the second place, the qualifications that were necessary. And thus the Father, he says, I have anointed my son as king. I have set him. Thus, he has not made himself king. He has not set himself upon the throne. He has not pushed himself forward to seek that honor, as it was, to be the king and the most powerful one. No, he says, I have set my king. It is my king that is, not who will reign over me, but who will reign for me. It is my king because I have set him upon that throne. And who is now going to say to me, what doest thou? That little word set, that is a testimony. It is a testimony of the love of the Father. It is a testimony of the love of the Father for the Son, that he desired his glory, that he may be magnified as the king over his people. But it is also a testimony of the love of the Father for his church, those whom he has chosen from eternity, that he had a desire to bring that people into communion with himself, that he has a desire to bring that people as subjects under himself and under his only begotten Son. But naturally, that makes the rejection of that king to be something that is flying in the face of his Father, that flies in his face as that which is provoking the Father unto a great wrath. That is what we read, he that sitteth in the heavens. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, the one whom I have appointed as one that is able to do this work. They say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. Why do they do that? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Congregation, who is able to stand before God? Who is able to stand before his wrath? When we think about Mount Sinai and how that the glory of the Lord did make that people desire to flee from the face of the Lord. If that was then in Mount Sinai, what shall it be on that great day of days? If that was now for that people, before the coming of his only begotten Son, and then when that people, they had set up a calf, that they may worship that calf. And now after the Lord, he has sent his only begotten Son into this world, and that whole nation of people, they have turned their wrath against him. Oh, then how the wrath of the Father that is lying on everyone who is an enemy to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do we ever consider this, that it is provoking unto the Father when we have no need for his only begotten Son? Surely, the man that rejects the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he is justly damned. He is justly cast away when he has despised the person that the Father has set, that he has chosen, that he has appointed as the king of his church. That is now our case. That is now our awful case when we are born, when we have no need for him. That is now our awful case as we are growing up, children, young people. And the longer that we live under the preaching of that name, the more guilt that we are receiving upon ourselves. Oh, the longer that we live, the more that the wrath of God that is set against us, the longer that we live and we despise the Son, oh, the more that the displeasure of the Lord that is building against us until that day that he will strike us and to send us away into that everlasting fire. Oh, shall it not be just when he shall say, I have set him, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, and that we had no desire, oh, consider it in your heart. And when there is no love for him, when there is no desire for him, and that it is actually a despising of the choice of the Father whom he loves. Let us sing Psalter 4, stanzas 1 and 2. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain against the Lord of earth and heaven to overthrow Messiah's reign? 1 and 2 of Psalter number 4. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Thus he has appointed him. He has appointed him to be king. He has chosen him to be the king. He did not appoint one of us. But he has not only appointed him, he has also qualified him to be king. Thus, what does it mean to qualify someone? Well, that means to give him everything that he needs in order that he may fulfill that purpose, to be qualified. And how did he need to qualify him to be a king? What does a king need? Well, you see, a king, he needs power. He needs authority. That is right. That is now what the Father has given unto him, power and authority. Are you glad? Or does that make you afraid? Because there are two sides to power. There are two sides to authority. That is, over whom now will he reign? Over whom does the Father give the Son this authority? That is our third thought. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. What is Zion? Here it speaks about Jerusalem. Thus, that is the people of the Lord. That is the place of God's church, not in heaven, but the place of God's church here on the earth. That is, we read his holy hill. And there is a people, they are under the special care, under the special protection of that king, for whom that he was come into this world. It is for that people that he would give himself, even unto death. But it was also for the sake of that same people that God says he will give him power and he will give him authority over the entire world. Thus, he has set him upon a throne of grace for his church. But he has also set him on a throne of providence. A throne of providence that is over the whole world. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That is now the prophecy that we read of in this psalm. It is according to that covenant that was sworn between the Father and the Son already in eternity. And that covenant of peace. There the Father, he has declared, as we read here, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten me. And that Son, he has declared his answer, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. But here, then we read that the Father, then he invites his Son. He invites his Son to ask of him a reward upon his fulfillment of his part. Then the Son, he is allowed to ask of the Father a reward. He says, ask of me, And I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. The heathen for thine inheritance. Thus I will give thee not only that Jewish people, but I will also give thee the heathen. That is, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was begun for the largest part in the dispensation that began when the Lord Jesus came into this world. To give himself, to sacrifice himself for the sake of his people. And we know on the day of Pentecost that the disciples, they were given the Spirit of the Lord, and they shall now begin to go out into all the nations of the entire world. Why? Because the Lord has promised unto his Son that he was going to give unto him the heathen for his inheritance. Was that ever a wonder to you? Because we are not Jews. We are not of that people. Live in a blessed time, young people. Sometimes we say it is such a dark time. There is much truth to that. But just think about living in the Old Testament time. Oh, then you say, what a blessed time that we live in. And also the heathen are going to hear that word of God, and that the Lord, he is going to include them. The heathen for thine inheritance, that they may serve him by beginning in the world, and that they will be taken up unto him in glory. That is, to serve him forever and forever. Oh, the Lord is going to be magnified from the east to the west, from the north to the south. And the Lord is going to give the multitudes of nations unto his only Son for a possession. That is now the time in which we may be living. Is it not a blessed time? Or may we not be so glad that we may live in this time? But that it never come further than this. Because if the Lord has ever shown to us our heathenish heart, oh, did you ever say, I go to church and I read the Bible? You ever say that, young people? I go to church and I read the Bible, and I bend my knees, but I have a heart that is no different than the heathen. Do you ever feel that? That is what we need to feel. Because we cannot be saved as a religious person. All our religion that has to be taken away from us as a ground. Oh, did you ever say, before the Lord, did you ever say, Lord, I cannot break my heart? Did you ever say, oh Lord, my heart loves this world? Were you ever honest with the Lord? You say, oh Lord, I cannot change it. I have no power. Thy people, they love thee. I do not. Because I have a heathen heart. I love vanity. I love everything that is passing away. Did you ever say, oh Lord, I cannot humble this heart. I cannot make it to bow. Did you ever try to humble it? Were you ever unsuccessful in it? Do you know what Job says? He says, if you can bring down the pride of a man, then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. You can deliver yourself if you can bring down the pride of your own heart. Oh Lord, how can I be made to accept that admonishment that thou givest unto me in thy holy word? Oh, we are hearing thy law, Sabbath to Sabbath, from week to week. And I know, it says it in our catechism, that's where it has to begin. It has to begin with that conviction of sin. And now I go on from day to day, and it doesn't break. Oh Lord, I have a hard heart. I have an evil heart. I have a wicked heart. I have a heathenish heart. We can make ourselves religious, but we cannot make ourselves lovers of God. And we cannot make ourselves lovers of His only begotten Son. We cannot make ourselves to bow before Him. Oh, do you ever feel this? Is this now ever your grief, boys and girls? But now what is now the promise of the Father to His Son? Do you know what He says? He says, I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Is that not a wonder? Power of Christ. That was now evident when we see Saul of Tarsus. And he was going on in his religion. And then the Lord came. The Lord Jesus came. He appeared to him, a heaven that opened. And then he spoke to him one word. And that high religious man, he came down. Came down on the ground. There was all his religion. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people, they fall under thee. Did you ever fall under those arrows? That is the way now Saul fell. Came down. And the Lord humbled his proud heart in one moment. He was taught by Christ to bow. And he had to bow. There is no resistance. There is no resistance. It is an irresistible grace. Oh, he had to bow before that king. That is the work of the king in heaven. That is what he does when he sends forth. And he says, there is one. And there is one. And he sends his spirit to shoot that arrow in the heart of his own. That is an arrow by which that heart that is slain, powerful. He didn't seem much like a king when he was here on the earth. Pharisees and the scribes, they despised him. The heathens, the Romans, they mocked him. And the Jews, they crucified him. He didn't seem much like a king then. But what was he doing upon that cross? There was power. There was the power of Christ to destroy the devil. The devil, he was laughing in that day. And he thought that he had gained the victory. And he tried to keep him even in the grave. was not possible. Because the king, he was given power by his own father. And he has bruised that head of Satan. And he has taken away his power over his own church in this world. And that power is gone. He has power. Yes, he has power in this world. He is called the prince of this world. But he is not the king. And his power that is subject to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And he is coming, that King of Kings and that Lord of Lords, to change the heart of his own people, to give them children, to give them a new heart, and to make you to bow under the good pleasure of the Lord. Is he your king? Is he your king that does sit upon the throne of grace? Or is he the king that is sitting upon the throne of his providence for your sake, that you may be destroyed in order that God's children may be delivered? Or is he your king? Does he rule for you? Say, how do I know if he is my king? Or if he is your king? Then it must be that there was a conflict, because he is not our king as we are born. We are born conceived in sin. And we are born in sin. Then we say we will not have this man to reign over us. Thus there must have come a conflict in our life. Was there ever a conflict in your life? Did you ever become as one of the heathen? Or you wanted to uphold yourself? And the Lord says, why do you persecute me? Did you ever go with Saul from standing to lying upon the ground? That is now the work of that king. Or if he is the king in your life, then it must be that he has conquered, that he has received the victory. Oh, then you will have seen that all the things in this world, they are so vain, that it is all perishing. We know that can happen as we become older. But when the Lord gives it, then it is because of the power of his Spirit. Oh, then we see something of the substance, what that is. And we see that we have turned our back to him. This is our grief. This is our sorrow. Oh, from going under that king, that prince of this world, then the Lord is making us to bow under that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords, who is sitting upon that hill of Zion. Or is he your king? I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Is that not a wonder? Now if your heart, if you truly do say in your heart, O Lord, I have a heathen heart. Is that what you say in your heart? Oh Lord, I have a heathen heart. Now you may take that word today and you may go to your own place and say, oh Lord, point out. You turn, children, to Psalm 2. Point it out to the Lord. Say, Lord, thou dost give the heathen unto thy dear son for his inheritance. Oh, here I am. Here I am. I cannot deliver myself. Wilt thou give me also unto thy dear son? What a blessed encouragement in that word of God. But congregation, it has also another side. Because what do we read? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. What does it speak of? That speaks about all those who refuse to bow under his scepter. Oh, there is so much enmity in this world against Christ and his kingdom. But the Lord says that they are like a drop in a bucket. It is like a piece of pottery you have that children may be at home. A piece of pottery, a nice pot that your mother has. And then she says, be with that very careful because it will break very easily. And if there is a baby, then you say, well, take that out of their way. If you put that and you throw that on the floor, it is just going to be dashed to pieces. That is now the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the declaration. What the Lord, he says, that he is going to do unto them. And that is now speaking about all the wicked that are in this world. But it is also speaking about those who are within that visible church, whose heart that remains our whole life long at enmity with free and sovereign grace. No need for him whom the Father loves. No love for him. No desire for him. Cannot be neutral concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Either we love him or we are still at enmity with him. Either we reject grace or we receive it. Either we need him or we do not need him. It is either the one way or it is the other way. Be wise now. Therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. That does not speak only about the kings, but it speaks about the kings as the head of all the people. It is speaking about the whole world. Be wise now. That means be instructed now. Be admonished now. Receive that instruction today. Oh, be convicted. Be convinced of our wretched state, of our miserable condition without God and without Christ in this world. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. O Lord, show to us our need. Show to us the evil, the wickedness of our hearts, and turn us again. O, seek us out, thou who art almighty, thou who art all powerful, and thou who art able to grant us true conversion. O, we beseech it of thee. Wilt thou take us also with our heathenish hearts unto thy dear Son? Oh, give us new hearts. Give us hearts of flesh. And wilt thou receive all the honor and the glory for time and for eternity? Do dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive what was sinful in preaching and in hearing, and we may acknowledge Thee for Thy help. Bring Thy word in the hearts of each and every one. Help us in this week and all the labors of our hands, and to keep us from all danger and from all accident, also in laboring upon the sanctuary. And wilt Thou give us thoughts and meditations of Thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 3, stanzas 3 and 4. This His word shall be made known. This Jehovah's firm decree. Thou art my beloved Son. Yea, I have begotten Thee. All the earth at Thy request I will give Thee for Thy own. Then Thy might shall be confessed, and Thy foes be overthrown. Then Thy might shall be confessed, and Thy foes be overthrown. 3 and 4 of Psalter 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.